But nom, everybody. We're in July. I would say the heat of the summer, although it's only hot some places, and it's actually cool some places. So we'll say in the middle of the summer, hot some places. It's hot energetically as we're moving right along through some very, shall we say, purifying astrological experiences now that we're in the fire of Leo. The crucible of the fire. We're in the middle of the frying pan. Okay, so tune in, and then we'll prepare to receive the frequencies. Namo Guru Jaya Namo. Namo Guru Jaya. Namo Guru Jaya Namo. Agre Name Agre Name Agre Name Agre Name Name Agre 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 Name Name. Why did you come close? Victory to the pure light. And Yogi Bhajan and angels are saying that you are being purified right now by the light. And what could be more purifying than the light? The light of the fire. We just had a new moon in Leo. Moved into Leo. We talked about that last week. New moon in Leo. So he's saying we're moving up to the next level of purity, of purification. So just the frequencies that the divine is sending through, to me it looks like a flame, a blue flame, and that we're receiving purification energies, and Yogi Bhajan saying, especially in related to our ancestral lineage, that what he's really working with us today is to release our genetic ancestral lineage and connect us with the ancestral lineage of the pure light. And the golden change lineage that we work with is the 10 Sikh Gurus and to the Sri Guru Granth Sahib and Yogi Bhajan. So he's saying that today is that the pure light helps burn the karma of inherited or ancestral lineage that we're realigning our lineage with the lineage of light. Okay, so just breathe into that. Looks like I'm still connected. I'm going to try to pay attention here. Good. Okay. So, wow. Okay, so I'm feeling kind of blue flame for me, enveloping me and being around my body, and Yogi Bhajan saying, yes, that's what it is. So allow yourself to be in the cocoon of the blue flame right now. And he's saying the blue flame leads to the blue pearl. It comes from the same etheric plane, the ether, the pure ether. Okay, excellent. Okay, good. So we have that. All right. Breathe and exhale. So here we are. We're in the lion energy. And we have Mars moving into Scorpio, getting some intensity going there. And we have Scorpio squaring the Sun, Moon, and Jupiter. And Venus moving through Cancer, coming into an opposition with Pluto square Uranus. So we have a Venus, Pluto, Uranus, C square going on this week. So just breathe into the blue flame, knowing that we're aligning the Venus, the love, the higher divine love, Pluto, our subconscious, which a lot of it got installed either by 3D patriarchy or genetic lineage, Uranus, the inner revolutionary. So taking back our true spiritual divine power in this moment and using this fire to purify anything that is not of these higher frequencies. Beautiful. Keep breathing into that. Excellent. So the sun just moving out of Cancer. We still have Venus moving through Cancer. So Cancer has to do with our ancestry and how we got imprinted right now. So as we're moving, the sun's moving out of Cancer, out of that particular lineage, out of that past, out of the ancestral karma, and coming into Leo, in our own heart chakra, the power of our own truth, and the power of really claiming our own divinity, our own divine space. With the help, we're going to be solar powered during this month. So we're claiming the power of our own divine space and letting go of that which has conditioned us to not realize the truth of who we are, the truth of our own divinity, the truth of our own soul frequency. So it's about creating this feeling of space, floating in new spaces, and moving into that space of trusting the divine. So when we're in that quantum field, we know that the observer changes the experience. So as we can observe the power, the frequency of our own soul frequency, and we're floating in that unlimited space, then we live in the place of miracles. So it's about being the divine observer of our divine self, our divine soul. And that is what we've been talking about the last few weeks, our soul frequency. That is our biggest power, being able to stay present and live in the frequency of our own divine soul and observing every situation with the eyes of the divine, the eyes of our soul. So we're bringing that into our own heart chakra, and that's the Uranus, that's the revolution. It's an internal revolution. It's revolutionary to claim our divinity on the planet and not be downtrodden by the conditioning, the whatever, the oppression, the wars, and like Arit said, really seeing that the people on the planet, Ekon Kar, the one people, the one truth, the one God, so supposedly opposing forces, Israelis and Palestinians in this moment, coming to the truth of we don't want this war. Maybe the dark forces, the people that have been in power, the cabal, want yet another war to create fear and anarchy and chaos. The people are standing up and saying, no, we don't want this. We're standing up to the cabal, the dark forces. So that's what's going on right now. So as we come into this place of the heart, the sun, Jupiter, moon, and Leo, it's a time of coming back into ourselves, into our own power, into our own body, into our own self-expression and creativity. So it's the time to release the pressure of that which has limited us. And so if you feel an intense pressure, it's like a birth, like we're being pushed through into the vortex of the etheric field right now. That's the ascension. We're moving, the planet is actually moving through, we were talking about the meteor shower. The planet's actually moving through the galaxy, aligning with the central sun. Happened in 2012, the Milky Way galaxy. So we're continuing to move into this solar frequency, closer and closer to the alignment with the central sun of the Milky Way galaxy. So there's more light, but it's also going to be experienced as more pressure. So just allow this pressure to move you through into the birth canal of this blue flame so you can meditate on that and be held by the light. I'm hearing a loud squeaking noise. As opposed to feeling that the pressure is limiting us, it's just moving us into this quantum field. So let's just go ahead and breathe into that. Good, good, good. So whatever might come up for you, Cancer is childhood, and Leo is more adolescent, like coming out into our own. So we're coming out of our, you know, the dysfunctional 3D, which is a more childish state, into the maturity of spiritual power. So we're getting something new to work with. So the laws of attraction are really important right now to pay attention to that. That, as I said, as we visualize ourselves, observe ourselves from the eyes of our own soul, the eyes of divinity, the world around us will change. So we can attract the divine into our lives and not have to push away or rebel against 3D. It's not about rebelling. It's about just moving beyond that and seeing things from a whole new perspective, the eyes of the divine, the eyes of the divine. So surround yourself with things that feel good, positive energies, and fill your aura with light, the fire of light. It's a good time to do fire ceremonies and the fire of the truth, speaking from that place, living from that place. Now we move into the magic of spirit and the truth that's not logical, but it's just true. It's not 2 + 2 or 1 + 1. Quantum physics leaps across time and space. It has to do also with the subtle body, the ninth body, where we're not bound by time and space, but we live in the identity of the infinity. So we leap across time and space. We're not bound by that. So this is the time that we're going through. So just keep breathing into that. Right now I'm feeling like Yogi Bhajan adjusting our third eye so we can actually have the ability, and I'm to see from what we're talking about, and I'm actually seeing him sort of metaphorically showing me that he's taking out like a little cloth, like polishing up, like clearing the lens, he's saying, that we have kind of murky lenses and in our third eye, and he's like polishing the lens of our third eye like a prism. He's showing us that our third eye is really more like a mandala, like a prism, and has different facets so that we can, as the light comes into our third eye, it turns into a prism, which is our creative power to revision the world around us from all the colors, not just from a monochromatic place, but from all the colors. So he's polishing the facets of the prism that our third eye really is. And then we can really understand sacred geometry, that we can move into the field where we are actually to co-create with the divine, when we can move into that space of the geometric prism space. So we're putting our light with the prism of the etheric field of the light, so that we're like a kaleidoscope. We're moving together. And we're really getting that infusion of prismatic light from the field, the quantum field, which is more like a prism. This is more of like a mandala than just some kind of blank space, like we always are shown or taught, like that space is blank or like black holes or something. But it's really more of a prism, like a mandala. So it's actually very alive with light, and it's Yogi Bhajan said, it's like Santa's workshop except for angels. Okay, so he's helping us attune our instrument, our third eye, so we can feel correlated to the divine space of the quantum field, the ninth body. So we can talk for a couple minutes while he adjusts our auras, our third eye. That the first guru, as we know, that came through onto the physical plane was Guru Nanak in 1469. And before he was born, the world was in utter chaos. Indy had been invaded a number of times, ongoing invasions between the year 1000 and 1400 when he was born. 11 times at least that were measured, but the Mughal rulers were coming in to invade the riches of India. And so it was like a really dark time where they would just come in, rape, pillage, kill, and the Hindus, which were really the people that lived there, Hindu was just a word that was put on people later, but the Hindus had the caste system, so if you were poor or a woman, you really didn't have much chance of having a life that was basically barely worth living. It was just a life of struggle and pain. So between those two things, India was kind of, didn't have any supportive social structures because all the temples, the Hindu temples were being burned and people weren't allowed to repair or rebuild temples. So it was kind of a time of very deep darkness. So Guru Nanak was born. He is a mystical child. His father didn't really know what to do with him. He wanted him to be more worldly. But an astrologer that read his astrology when he was born said he was on the earth destined to become a great leader of mankind, of peoplekind, of womankind. And he was. So Guru Nanak's enlightenment experience was when he went down to the river to take his morning bath before his spiritual practice and meditation. He disappeared under the waters for 3 days. And when he came back up, after the people in the village were just in a panic trying to find him, they couldn't find him for 3 days. They went up and down the river, they looked in the river, they thought he'd been swept away and drowned, but he reemerged. And when he reemerged, he said to have a very otherworldly light around him. He was different. He was enlightened in the light. And he came up saying, there's no Hindus, there's no Muslims. And he recited Japji, of course, which starts out with the Mool Mantra, Ek Onkar, there is one God, truth is his name. He's the doer of everything, and so on. So this was totally revolutionary for that time. And he, at one point, with his childhood friend Mardana, who was a Muslim that played a one-string musical instrument, spent literally years walking around on foot, just inspiring people and letting people know there was another way to look at the world. They had another alternative, and Sikh meant student or disciple, so it was just those people that wanted to follow the teachings of Guru Nanak and have another path besides the ones that were being presented to them at the time. So his life was based on sharing and based on the divine directives. So he was divinely inspired by the quantum field, by spirit, by God, by goddess, by the creator, to show people there was another way to live. And the key words for Guru Nanak's life was that he was divinely inspired. So he felt the flow of the divine flow through him. That's how he was able to direct people, share with people. They felt the divine love. They felt the power of this field, the divine field coming through him. So that's how he gained. It was the light that came through him. That's how he gained so many followers, and people were interested in a better way. That's why they followed the teachings of Guru Nanak. And all the gurus that came after felt that they merged with Guru Nanak, that they had the light of Guru Nanak coming through them. So that light was transferred from one guru to another. And there's lots of stories about Guru Nanak, but one of the stories is that when as I said, his father kept trying to get him to be, we'll put it this way, our terms, more functional in the world. So at one point, his father thought, well, He can, you know, he can be like Krishna. He can be a cow herder. He can go take care of these cows. He can take them out into the field to graze during the day and they can bring them back at night. And Guru Nanak, that was fine with him because he would sit in meditation under the tree and be absorbed in the Nam or the bliss of the light all day and be connected with nature. So he was totally happy with that job until one day he wasn't paying attention to the cows and they got loose and they went into a neighbor's field and ate all of his crops. And the neighbor was totally irate and came to Guru Nanak's father and was threatening to cause all kinds of problems and he better pay for his crops. And Guru Nanak very peacefully said, okay, let's go survey the damage and we'll see what it is. And when they went to the field, the crops were fine. There was no damage to the crops. Everything was restored and the yield was even greater than it was expected to be. So it may seem, that's just one story, and there's other stories which we can talk about, but it may seem that this story was a miracle, but that's an example of connecting with the divine in the quantum field. I mean, I'm thinking about crop circles. How do those happen? So there's lots of quote-unquote magical energies available in the quantum field when we are connected with this light of the divine, the light of our souls, the light of this blue flame of Leo that Yogi Bhajan's sharing this right now. And I hear him saying that this is the same light that he's sending through to us.
Did we lose her?
I think we did.
Yeah. Well, let me text her.
Okay, I'm back. We were receiving like solar flare, like a huge blast of that beautiful light was just coming through, and that's when we got disconnected. I guess we're frying the technology, but anyway, I hope
when the three doesn't go together.
I know, we're trying to get like these ascended dimensions and 3D synced up. We're the portals for mortals. That's our name, deactivation, aka portals for mortals. So, Yogi Bhajan and Guru Nanak are sending this beam, this blue iridescent divine solar beam through us right now, and I'm feeling it in my heart. And he's saying that Guru Nanak and Yogi Bhajan are telling us that when we're connected with that frequency and we start to move with the direction of that divine portal for mortal beam, when we start to move with the direction of that divine current or frequency, the hedge, the flow of the divine frequency, that our life, that we're going to have all kinds of miracles occur, and especially they're excited that we're going to be doing our own music and that we're going to be, you know, we're going to be sharing this light. And I'm being shown this vision right now that we will be doing some traveling and sharing this light. Not exactly like Guru Nanak, because we won't be walking around for 12 years on foot all over India. But I'm feeling that they're even saying the reason that Guru Nanak was able to endure the hardships of that time, he didn't experience them as hardships because he was in the bubble of this etheric field. And it's taken like all to bring that frequency onto the planet so everybody that wants to, that it becomes more available. And right now, just because we're able to receive this, we're going to be bringing that frequency into 3D, and we are right now. So it's really powerful. Great. And that when Guru Nanak was under the water that 3 days, that he was actually in the field of this blue flame, that he was kind of in another dimension for those 3 days, almost like he got lifted onto like a starship or something. I don't know. That's just the image I'm coming up with, but it's possible. But he definitely had an enlightenment experience. And he was shown, he was pure, because of his purity, he laid down the whole path with Dapji for this, the followers, those who wanted to seek a new way of being and not be, have no other options. So this opened up a new portal, a new path to follow. Beautiful, beautiful. And, okay, lots of stories about Guru Nanak. But another story about Guru Nanak was that before he became Guru Nanak, and what happened was that his father then wanted to get, well, first they married him at age 16, and he did have two sons, one of who was Baba Siri Chand, who actually became, it was his assignment or karma or destiny to actually work with the Siddha yogis, because the yogis just went off to the mountains, and Guru Nanak spent a lot of time up in the mountains, climbing the mountains of the Himalayas and the different places where they were, talking to the yogis and saying, "What are you doing up here?" They're like saying, they're asking, "What's going on down in the world?" And he's saying, "What are you doing up here? Don't you know that people need light? That you're just up here, you know, communing with God, but you're not helping anybody. You need to come down into the world and share the light," which was totally revolutionary for that time, because the yogis went off. They didn't want to deal with the problems of, you know, Maya or wives or children or rulers. So it was very revolutionary for Guru Nanak to confront these yogis and say, "You know, we need your help. This isn't where you belong. To bring your light down to the people." And so it was Baba Siri Chand's destiny, or quote-unquote job, so to speak, to, he became a great yogi, and he lived to, supposedly to age 175 or so, and he started a whole new path based on his father's teachings of being able to be a yogi and share your light with the world. So as we know, Baba Siri Chand works with us even today, and I'm feeling Baba Siri Chand around us. So we can also call on Baba Siri Chand to remove the obstacles that that may seem really hard to deal with in 3D. So he's saying, "Yeah, call on me more." And Guru Nanak's, "Yes, call on me." So they're saying, "You're part of the team. You're part of the blue flame." Team, they consider as part of their team. I feel really honored and touched by that. So the story I was going to tell about Guru Nanak, before he went off on his journey with Mardana, traveling around the world for 12 years, was that after they married him off, his father got a job for him in another city in a granary where this merchant had kept the grain, and then people would come and buy grain from him in the city. So what happened was, he was happy with the job. It was, he had to keep the accounting and keep track of everything, and he was fine with it. He liked it. He did a really great job. And at one point, he opened the grain stores up to the poor. There was a famine, and it was winter, and they really needed food. So he said, "Anybody that needs food, just come and take what you need," which people did. And when the merchant who owned the granary found out, he, you know, I'll use modern day terms, he went ballistic. And so same thing. Guru Nanak said, "Okay, let's go, let's send people in and have them take, you know, an accounting of what grain's there and what grain's missing, and we'll settle the account. We'll settle the score. Dock my wages, you know." And so he did that, and he found out when he sent his accountants in, there was even more grain than before. So again, this is another example of living in that field of magic, the field of the divine, the field where it really is abundance, because everything's just being created all the time. So it's about tapping into that abundance. So after that, you know, the owner of the granary, he apologized, but Guru Nanak was hurt, so he didn't want to work there anymore. So it was after that that he and Mardana set out on their journey. So they traveled around, and originally the way they started traveling was that Mardana's father took, they didn't have post offices back then, but he took messages from one village to the other. So they started helping Mardana's father. And those people that took the messages were very revered, because that's how people got information. So he'd take a message, and then you had to be trustworthy, and then he would take the message back to whoever was trying to communicate with him. So they started helping him, and then they started becoming messengers, and then they just continued from there, just traveling all over, like I said, up into the mountains, and Tibet, and Kashmir, and Afghanistan. They traveled for 12 years. So let's just breathe and just feel Guru Nanak, Baba Sri Chand with us. Breathing into this field. Excellent. Good, good. All right. So, the second guru was Guru Angad, which means, basically, Angad means like part of, like a limb. So he considered himself to be, again, part of the lineage. And then Guru Amar Das. And Guru Amar Das was an older gentleman. He was like actually 62, and he became the guru. And he carried water for Guru Angad's bath every day. And he had such a pure spirit and such a pure heart that he was made the guru. And so his energy is to never give up hope, the hope of the hopeless. So when we chant to Guru Amar Das, we're able to move into that frequency of the divine and look beyond the energy of 3D that may be bringing us down. So the chant we're doing today is Ardas Bhai Amar Das Guru. So we're chanting this for ourselves, but for the world, in connection with our core ascended master group right now, which is right now Yogi Bhajan and Guru Nanak, Baba Sri Chand, and Angad and Guru Amar Das, and the angels.
Thank you. Is anyone there?
Sudnam.
Sudnam. It's funny because you never know if it's you or her.
Okay, everybody, I'm back. Listen, inhale. Embody that frequency and exhale and let it go. Okay. So, that's okay. We can talk now. So, if anybody would like to share, the chat was almost over. We just had like 2 more minutes of it. So, anybody like to share anything? I think so I'm feeling that. So the chant for this week is to listen to the Ardas by E and just continue to anchor in those divine frequencies. I think it was pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still feeling it, so I know we may be a little speechless.
Satnam, everyone, this is Lisa.
Oh, hi, Lisa.
Hi, I'm in Houston right now. My brother's very sick in the hospital, and he might be dying, and I'm trying to understand what, you know, I'm next of kin, so I'm trying to figure out what he wants. He's got liver and kidney failure, and I've been, you know, praying and chanting and playing mantras and, you know, doing this every day. So it's like day, I don't know how many. It's like he's been in the hospital now for like 2 weeks and like 10 days in ICU. But today he's come off the ventilator and he's breathing on his own, but now he's delirious. So I can't even really talk to him to know what he wants. So anyway, I thought it was really interesting today that the message was about the blue flame and miracles and, you know, all this. And so I'm just, I don't really have anybody to talk about this, so I'm telling you guys.
Okay, well, thank you. We'll definitely hold the energy of miracles for him also. And so we just make that bubble of you know, health. And it just feels like right now that he's just, you know, trying to come to peace with his soul. And you can talk to his soul. And he'll, you know, he'll hear you.
Yeah, I've been trying to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know he's tired. I know he's, yeah, I mean, he can't, even if he were to completely recover, I think he'd probably need, like, dialysis for the rest of his life. And I just don't know what kind of quality of life he would have. But it's up to his soul, of course. And so anyway, I've been telling him that, and anyway, thank you for that feedback. That's helpful.
Yeah. So I'm feeling right now just that we're, you know, connecting with his soul, and the soul's connecting with us, and it's really beautiful. So we're just, you know, hang out in that space together with him.
Yeah.
I'm feeling that it's okay. It's okay for him to, you know, merge back into the truth of who he really is, but you know, it's fine. He doesn't need to stick around here, and just to hold the intention for him to leave out his crown chakra. So I would tell him that, to hold the space, and we'll visualize it right now that he leaves his body out of his crown chakra, so he can go right into the blue flame.
Okay, I'll tell him that.
That's the most important thing for him right now.
Is to try and leave out of his crown chakra. Okay, yeah, I've been putting my hand there and getting him to feel that. Can you feel this energy? Can you feel this? So I'll keep doing that, and I'll tell him that.
Okay. Recently I lost someone there, and what happened, how I tried to help my friend was help her connect with the master that she resonated most and call on that master as she was leaving the body, because that master would take her straight where she needs to go. That's one thing that I think works. And another thing I heard about is a call for 17 days for 11 minutes every day. If that happens and he passes away.
Huh, okay. Thank you.
You're What hospital is she at? What hospital is she at?
My brother's in Memorial Hermann Hospital in Houston.
The downtown one, the mid-center one?
Yes, the downtown one.
Okay. Anyway, I guess I can contact you for email because I live near Houston.
Oh, yeah. I'm squishybunny@yahoo.com, and I'm on the email list. I mean,
okay.
I'm, you know, I'm part of Soxie Activation.
Right. I remember Squishy Bunny.
Yeah, that's me. Thank you so much. I really appreciate all y'all's support.
Okay. I'm sorry about your brother.
Yeah, me too. I guess he was a pretty big drinker. And he's been estranged from my parents for a while. And when I heard he was sick, I found out from his girlfriend. And, you know, he doesn't really have anybody else but his girlfriend. And so I came here. I drove here to be with him. So, yeah, I felt like it was important for me to come. So,
yeah,
we've had some kind of, it's been really hard, but I'm really glad I came. I'm so glad I came because it seems like it's important for both of us.
What is his name, Lisa?
His name is Jay. Jay Miller.
Jay Miller.
He's a really beautiful guy. He's just, you know, he's kind of had a hard life, and he just, I guess he drank a lot to deal with the pain, and, I've just been finding out how much of a drinker he was. He didn't quite know, but anyway. So, thanks, everybody. I really appreciate it. I feel better being on this call and just connecting with you all and the guru and anyway, Sat Nam.
Thank you. Thank you, Lisa. Sat Nam, we're with you. Beautiful. Would anybody else like to share anything? Thoughts, feelings, requests, needs?
Well, it's interesting, the artist Bahi and Guru Amar Das came up and because I thought about that coming into my mind periodically. It wasn't super strong, but as I got toward the end of things, it did come in stronger.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Well, that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
That's how our call went, too.
Yeah.
Before hearing this, I felt really heavy in my heart. Now I feel a little better. I was very depressed and with this strange heaviness in the heart before the call. So I guess that's what it is, what is needed for this. What else? What does this?
Just feel this week being connected with Guru Nanak and this divine blue flame. And the mantra for the week is Ardas Bhai mantra to get through. Kind of like also like, you know, it's hope of the hopeless. But also just like the hopelessness of our, you know, ancestors too. Remember we talked about this is about releasing ancestral lineage stuff and connecting with the light of the divine, the lineage of the divine. So part of it is we're letting go of all the, you know, the frustrations that we kind of inherited in our DNA of, you know, our lineage, not basically, you know, being as connected as maybe they could have been with the light of the divine. So we're not just changing ourselves, you know. It's affecting our whole lineage. So, yeah, that's what's going on for this week.
No wonder it's so heavy.
It's heavy. It's heavy, I know. It's heavy. Yeah. We had a big assignment this week. Okay, everybody.
Thank you.
We'll chat Satnam and we'll move into the ethers with each other. Okay, thank you, everybody. We will be in touch.
Love you all. See you next week.
Love you all. Thank you. Thank you, Linda.